Talking with TD.
Talking with TD.
Touchdown, Tennessee!
The latest on the Two-Tone Blue with ESPN's Terrell Davenport.
Put up a shut-up term.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Here we go. Yes, yes. You are now rocking with TD. I'm your host, Terrell Davenport. We got a lot to talk about. Free agency is pending. You got the combine coming fresh out of that. We got Run TMC with, oh, I almost said Derek Mason. I wish I could get, I need to get D. Mason on here one time, but we'll get that done. In the meantime, we got Chris Sanders, Forever Titans receiver. We got David James over here hooking it up.
Yes, sir.
I'm feeling good, man. We had a cleanup day here in the studio, and, you know, just that fresh smell in the air, it gives you a good feeling. So, it's pretty dope to be here. Just knowing what we have on the docket, you got free agency coming, and there's a lot of new beginnings that are going to start for various NFL players. We'll see how many of those NFL players end up coming here to the Titans. But one thing that's really coming to light, man, is a lot of guys are getting cut. I mean, whether it's Jamal Adams, and I know I put on there just drawing the tie. I put it on X or Twitter, whatever you want to call it. I drew the tie. You know, Jamal Adams is being released by the Seahawks, and I just mentioned how he was all rookie team in 2017, second team all pro in 2018, both of which were years where Denard Wilson was his secondary coach. And boy, oh boy. So many people had pushed back on that. And ladies and gentlemen, I wasn't saying sign him. I was just drawing the correlation there, knowing that there's history between he and Denard Wilson. A lot of times I'll put a name out there and draw that type of thing. And it's not because I'm saying, hey, you must sign him. It's just because this is a possibility. That's all. But I appreciate your feedback. It's always interesting to see that because I tell you one thing about Titans fans. They won't hesitate to let you know if they do or don't like somebody. That's for sure. Yeah. So you had Jamal Adams. He got added to the market. You had who else got added to the market there? You had Jerome Baker, you know, who is a pretty outstanding linebacker from the Miami Dolphins. He's someone coming out of Ohio State. He was a highly rated prospect. And, yeah, I'm just surprised that he's available. But I tell you what, the big surprises are coming out of Jacksonville, man. They're freeing up money after money after money. And I wonder if that is to sign Calvin Ridley. I'm not sure. But you had Rayshon Jenkins, who, if you guys remember, that's the one that came off the edge. And he body rocked Josh Dobbs, and Josh Allen picked it up, and it was a touchdown. And that was the reason why your Tennessee Titans did not go to the playoffs in 2022, 2023. There's a bunch of reasons, and that's why free agency is an area that they have to, look to improve. And just speaking of the Jaguars, another one is Darius Williams, the cornerback. He's someone I think the Titans should look at as well. He was released by the Jaguars, again, in a cost-cutting move. So we're just going to go through a couple needs here and just look at some options for the Titans. And obviously the big option, the big need, the big area for improvement is the offensive line. So we'll start there. And you look at some of these linemen. I mean, there's some pretty good ones. Obviously, you know, left tackle is the position that you want to address. But my question is, should they do that in free agency? And I say no. I think the draft is where you get your left tackle. And we'll get into that in the back end of this conversation here in the final segment. But if they were to go offensive line in the free agency part of it. So you had Laken Tomlinson who became a free agent. You know, the Jets cut him to save a bunch of money. He's a guard. He can play some right tackle if need be, but, you know, he's a good option. I just don't know at that price if that's, you know, worth it. The increase, he's 32 years old. He's someone who intrigues me, but I think if you're going to go guard, the top option to me, and this is if you're going to go guard, is Robert Hunt. But at what price? So you look at the projected contract. He's projected to get 16. I think it's around 16 million, 16 to 18 million a year. Do you want to do that? I say for all that, you should have just signed Nate Davis last year, and you know what you get in Nate Davis. You know how he fits into your scheme, et cetera, et cetera. And of course, Nate Davis, he signed a 3-year, $30 million deal with the Bears last year. But I mean, if you're going to give, I don't know that there's that much separation from Robert Hunt to Nate Davis, you know? So I think when you look at the guard position, it's not a spot where I'm going $16 million. Now, of course, what Rand Carthon and the crew decide to do is a different story, but I don't think that they do that. So you look at some of the other options. Connor Williams, also from the Dolphins, is intriguing. He's 26 years old, but you look at his deal, the projected market value by Spotrac is 5 years, $67 million. So you're talking about a 13.5 annual. Again, you might as well have just signed your own guard in Nate Davis last year if you were going to do that. So here's the way I look at it, right? The left guard position we know is taken care of. That's Peter Skowronski. The right guard position, listen, you could go with Daniel Brunskill if you would like. Now, he's going to cost a lot less than some of these guys that I've mentioned. You know what I mean? So when you're talking about Brunskill, obviously there's a bit of drop off, you know, as compared to, you know, Robert Hunt, as compared to some of these other major options here. But I think in the grand scheme of things, the right guard position is not one that should be of the utmost importance to address. And also, you could handle that a bit later in the draft if you chose to. And you still have the option of Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, that's going to be when we talk receivers, of Nicholas Petit-Ferrer. So that's how you look at that. Left tackle, again, is a position that I don't think that they need to address, you know, by way of free agency. But if you look at the right tackle position, there are some options there. I still wonder, you know, what Jalen Duncan can do. I think he's a guy that you look at the right tackle position, I think he is someone I would take a look there. I would absolutely take a look at him at that position. George Fant is an option. You know, of course, they flirted with him last year and they ended up signing Chris Hubbard, who is another free agent option. I personally do not think that they should address the guard or tackle position at right or left tackle in free agency. I say just leave it alone. You draft. You look at a guy like Roger Rosengarten out of Washington. You know, he's someone you may be able to get later. I mean, there are options. There are definitely some options, and we'll get into that in the final segment. So that's the way I look at the guard position, the tackle position. I would just stay put. However, when it comes to wide receiver, that's where I think they should get busy. And obviously the top guys are out, right? You know, you look at T. Higgins. There's a possibility of a trade and sign type of deal with him if the Titans want to go hard. They have all this money. I think it's up to now $90-something million. They could do that. I just don't know, and this is no slight on T. Higgins whatsoever, because I think T. Higgins is a heck of a player. I just don't know that I would give up draft capital and that $25 to $30 million per year contract that is going to warrant T. Higgins. I always say be cautious of going and getting the Robin and making him Batman. There are a lot of instances where that did not work, and that goes all the way back to Alvin Harper, you know, with the Cowboys when the Bucks got him. I mean, you got Peerless Price. There are numerous, you know, no disrespect to my Vols listeners, because Peerless Price was a beast when he was in Buffalo, but he got to Atlanta, it didn't look right. So when you look at the receivers, right, I classify them in different groups, right? You know, you got your burner, you got your possession guys, and then you got your returners. And I think when you look at the possession guys, Tyler Boyd comes to mind as an option. He's 29 years old. He didn't have the most productive year last year. I get it. But you got that scheme familiarity, and he's a guy, and this is something that you always want to have in the room when you're a coach, right? And that's speaking in regards to Brian Callahan. You always want to have that player that could really exemplify, and not even exemplify, but explain what it is. It's almost like translating Spanish to English, right? Tyler Boyd would be that interpreter, so to speak. just as far as like helping the rest of the room get a better understanding of the scheme, because he's played in it for, you know, 4 or 5 years. Tyler Boyd at around $10 million a year, I think, is a good deal. And that's a deal I would look to sign. You look at Spoltrak, right now they have him at 3 years, $26 million. $8.7 million for a productive Tyler Boyd, I think, is a good deal. That's one I would look at. Now, you could look at the names, Odell Beckham Jr., Marquise Brown. Those are interesting. I think Marquise Brown, I put he and Darnell Mooney kind of in the same class, and you're going to say, what? How are you? Listen, they're both vertical field stretchers. Now, obviously, Mooney has not had the production. Well, I don't know that you can say it. Mooney, a few years ago, had a 1,000-yard season. But the big problem, so you look at Marquise Brown, right? And the vertical aspect that he brings is there, but you look at the average per catch, and it's not. So it's like one of those things where you're wondering, okay, well, what happened? How does a guy this fast not have as many field-stretching, game-changing receptions? And that's something you have to go and look at the film and figure out. But you look at Marquise Brown, statistically, you know, he's put together a nice couple years. And obviously last year it didn't hit for him, but you look at 2021, you know, he had 1,000 yards, right? And you look at 2022, he had 67 receptions for 709 yards. Last year he had 51 for 574. He had the injury there. I like the signing, but it's one that I will hold off on. I think you could get a Marquise Brown in the draft. I think those types of players are available. And just we're talking as far as the contract, it would require to sign him. Because, again, this is just a projection, but Spoltrak has him at $14.8 million a year. 4 years, $59 million. Sorry, ain't doing that. What Kevin Gaye say? Ain't got no time for that. Yeah, I'm not doing that. But if you go and you look at a guy like Darnell Mooney, I think it's much more reasonable. You look at his statistics, and Mooney is a guy that actually he played for Tyke Tolbert, the new receivers coach. So you do have that. Now here's the problem, right? His last 1,000-yard season was 2021 as well, right? And you're talking about the same time frame that Marquise Brown last had one. So Mooney in 2021, 81 receptions, 1,055 yards, 4 touchdowns. But here's the thing. Mooney has been a deep threat more consistently, and his average per catch is higher. I know from so many times watching him on the outside, and I could just picture him running the go routes and going up and snapping that ball out the air. Obviously, the production wasn't there last year in that run-heavy offense with the Bears. I get it, but I could see a guy like Mooney really helping this team out. He's not going to be expensive. So there you have it right there. You signed Tyler Boyd. You signed Darnell Mooney. So you're going to say, hey, what about some of the other receivers, right? Because, look, I think in doing this, you got your possession guy. Like, you got your veteran. You got your speed guy. Now, what about the other receivers? Well, for me, I want guys that can double, right? That could double as return guys. And I think that's a whole separate category when you're looking at those guys. And by the way, Spoltrak has Darnell Mooney at 4 years, $41 million. That's 10.4. Compared to the $25 to $30 million contracts that, you know, these big-time receivers are getting, that $10 million is it pales in comparison. I know people are going to say, hey, what about Juwan Jennings? And he's attractive. He's really stepped up, but he's a restricted free agent. I don't know that you give up the necessary pick. We'll see what designation he gets, but I wouldn't do that. However, going back to the return side of things, right? You look at – there's a few. So Jamal Agnew is definitely intriguing, and as Titans fans, you guys know what he's done to you in the return game. He's definitely a legit returner, and he's someone I would look at, you know, after seeing how he played with Jacksonville. But for me, the third receiver that I'm signing, and that's to solve my punt and kick return duties, is Devin Duvernay. And David, I know, you know, you're like, daggum. But
Hey,
listen.
I get it.
You got Tyler.
We got good.
You got Tylan Wallace.
Yeah.
There to he could do it. You saw the return he had.
We should be fine.
Yeah, but if you look at Dev Duvernay, right, you go back to his high school years in Texas. You know, he was a 10-200 meter yard dash guy, even faster in the champ. He was a state champ in the 100 meter yard dash. You look at him in Texas. Good film there. It didn't quite translate to the Ravens as far as the receiving option, but he has been a solid returner for them consistently. So I would look at that. So now you have Darnell Mooney, who could also give you punt return, but I don't sign him to do that. But you have Mooney to stretch the field. You got your possession guy in Tyler Boyd, and then you got your returner in Dev Duvernay. Then in the draft, you definitely look at a guy at in the first or second round, too, because you need that person who's going to be your next number one after DeAndre Hopkins eventually moves on. So that's the way I look at a couple things on offense real quick. Defensively, you know, we look at this cornerback position and there are so many. I mentioned Darius Williams. You know, he had four picks last year. He got released by the Jaguars and, his projected deal was $12.8 million, a two-year deal. He is just about 31. He'll be 31 soon this month, I believe. So you have that. The one I maintain, though, that you sign is Jeff Okuda. I think he's a guy that where you kind of gamble on that upside. You gamble on that talent that he has. So I'm looking at signing Jeff Okuda. Adoree Jackson, hey, a reuniting with him would be cool, but I don't go that route. Kendall Fuller is interesting. He plays a lot of nickel, and he had played some safety too. That's one I strongly consider, but I hold off there. So I'm looking at Jeff Okuda. I think you look at Chidobe Awuzie, a nice physical corner that you could fit in there. I don't do that though because I think you have that Chidobe Awuzie type in Roger McCreary because you got to remember what you have now. But at the same time, free agency is not the only area that you address the cornerback position. I think Okuda and we're gonna see who else I don't know, man. I don't know. I think about bringing back Christian Fulton. I just don't know that he wants to be back. That's the big thing that they have to, unearth. I think Chris kind of wants to have a new beginning somewhere else. But I tell you what, Sean Murphy Bunting is another one I look at bringing back because that physicality on the outside is very attractive. Now, we know there were times where, he got cooked. But I tell you where I go, David. I mentioned Chidobe Awuzie, right? I'm going to go to his Colorado teammate, Akello Witherspoon. And I think when you look at Akello, former soccer player, guy that coming out, I was pretty high on. He kind of bounced around. Well, he played for the Steelers, and he was with the Rams. I signed Akello Witherspoon. He had three picks last year, so you do have some production on the ball, which they seriously need. So I'm looking at Keller Witherspoon, Jeff Okuda, those would be the two free agents I sign cornerback-wise. And people say, hey, man, what about L'Jarius Sneed? Listen, he's a really good player. But again, it goes back to, are you going to sign him too? Because you look, the franchise tag at corner is around $26 million, right? And so the way the Chiefs looked at it, okay, they could tag him this year and possibly tag him next year. And if they do that, you're looking at, a little over $27 million per year. So if he were to sign a multi-year deal, he's not going under $27 million per year. So guess what? I'm not paying that for him. No slight to L'Jarius Sneed, but I'm just not paying that for him. So, they have all this money and a lot of people say they should be active. And yeah, I think you do want to look at, getting some things done, right? But it doesn't hurt to go ahead and be cautious of how you're spending it. Bring in guys, I think Okuda, tremendous upside. And then you're set up if you want to make that trade for one of these guys, like, the Justin Jefferson thing is floating out there. If you want to make that trade, you have the financial stability to be able to do that. The draft capital is different. But those are a few of the free agent ways that I would look at this. We're going to go ahead and go to a break. We'll be right back. I want to get Chris Sanders take on free agency. So we got the legal tampering period starting on Monday. We'll be right back.
I want to tell you a little bit about Soho Footwear over there in Hendersonville. You need your sneaks, your J's, whatever you should need, man. Definitely make sure you go check them out. You mentioned TD10 and you get $10 off of $100. And they have a wide selection. So if you're a guy who or girl who already has a nice catalog of J's and Air Force Ones, et cetera, they'll still have something for you. Just go check them out. And if you're brand new to it, hey, just let them know. They'll guide you in the right direction. So definitely make sure you check out Soho, S-O-H-O. 615.com. And again, they're in Hendersonville.
This is Derrick Henry. You're now talking with TD.
Here they come. Yeah. Hey, we're going back to the crib. Okay. Music fades. The lights dim. That's right. We're going right to Broad and Patterson, baby.
This guy.
Ooh. And now, coming to you live from the Philadelphia Spectrum, starting as shooting guard for your 76ers, from the University of Bradley, number 33, the Hawk, Hersey Hawkins.
And now, starring for the Houston Rockets, Ralph Sampson.
I told you that story about how I got beat up by my dad for stealing his Ralph Sampson Pumas way to school. Hey, man, Hersey Hawkins.
Long, man.
Yeah, he was. But Hersey Hawkins, though, he had a jumper, but he used to always crack me up because he looked like the track runners. Remember that game, Track and Field?
Yes.
He looked just like them, had the same mustache and everything. You got that mustache, too.
Hey, but the worst mustache is Marvin Harrison. That might be the worst. Or Jeff. No, Jeff Fisher is cool, but Marvin Harrison, when I say it's awful. It is always just look like a caterpillar.
Hey, you better be careful, man.
I know. He still might be up in here.
We might have to delete that. I want you to be safe, man. You know Marv.
I know. Did he beat somebody up at the car wash?
Yeah. Yo, Marv don't play, man.
I'm just going to do this for your safety.
Silent but deadly, man. You better watch out. He didn't say much, boy, but.
Hey, woo. And this was always passing on TV. Okay, I'll stop. Okay, so you
I'm going to tell you a story about Marvin Harrison, though, because I just started to see them pop up here in Nashville, too, the Tasty Cakes, man.
Who? Marvin Harrison?
So No. The Tasty Cakes, the snacks. That's a big thing. The factory is right there in Philly, man, and that's a big thing in Philadelphia and the surrounding areas, man. Tasty Cakes, the snacks. And so Marv used to love them so much, he would get them shipped in from Philly to Indianapolis. He would get cases of Tasty Cakes. Yeah,
they were that good, man.
Yeah, but I ain't gonna get to talking about him too much longer, man.
He's a
Hall of Famer. I tell you a funny thing, though. One more thing with him. So I wore 88 on game day.
I thought you looked gross in uniform, dude.
No, I look dope. And that was back when everybody wore 88. Terry Glenn had it. Eddie Kinnison had it. I'll give you the names now. You know what I mean? Torrey Holt had it. Marvin Harrison had it. All of them. But it was Marv. I said Terry Glenn. That was the first one I said. I told you, I still got a little problem with you because you kept him on the bench that one year. You know what I mean? Before you came out. I'm always going to hold that against you. And, you know, rest in peace, though, T. Glenn, for sure.
Absolutely, T. Glenn. Absolutely.
But I used to wear number 8 in practice. You know what I mean? Because of Marvin Harrison. I used to love Marvin Harrison, man. Love it. That was my guy.
But you know what I love about him, man, is, you know, everybody talks about that you got to be a big, gigantic receiver to be successful. This dude understood how to create separation.
Yeah.
And that's why he's a Hall of Famer now. And every time, I mean, I played against him a couple of times, and I'm like, why is this dude consistently getting open? Because he understood how to set guys up at the line of scrimmage. But also, the stuff that he did at top of the route was amazing, man. He was real shifty, used his body, lied with his eyes, all the stuff we talk about every week. And he was just special at creating separation.
Yeah, that's a great point. And speaking of that, I'm curious. I'm going to get your opinion.
Oh, my God.
I did a story on Keon Coleman, and it's interesting. He was supposed to run in the 4.4s. Like, I don't know what happened, but that's what his trainers were saying. He was going to run in that, and they were putting him at about a 40-inch vertical. He hit 38. How do you look at that? Because this is a guy in that 40-yard dash. He hit 22 miles an hour. Running a gauntlet, you know, he hit 20 miles an hour, which was the fastest speed in the gauntlet over the last 3 years since they started recording it. How do you look at a guy like that?
You know, I watch the other stuff. I want to watch how he runs his routes. I want to watch how he catches the ball because, you know, at the end of the day, I mean, if you look at Jerry Rice ran 4.6. So, you know, everybody's, oh, no, he didn't run 6. But also, all of a sudden, you got Jerry Rice that consistently catches the ball well and also creates separation. So I will look at that a little bit. It all depends on, TD, what is your team looking for? Is your team looking for a speed, guys? You're guy looking for a big body that's going to go across the middle and catch the football. So it all depends on what the identity and what your you know, philosophy of what you're doing. So he might be good for a team or might not be good for a team. If he's sitting at 7, this is my opinion. I don't think you go get him that high because he's not a speed guy. You want to get a guy that's going to take the top off the defense.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that's what they need. So that being said, who are some of the guys that you like for the Titans at the receiver position? Number 7 is easy. Like, okay, Rome Odunze, Malik Nabers. Let's go beyond that. Let's say they go Joe Alt, which I –
Who's our guy? You answer that. Who's our guy?
I'm going to let you call it because this is
South
your opportunity.
South Carolina Leggett, hands down, is a stinking dog. Weighs 221 pounds, ran a 4.39. Here's the thing. I did a stat on him. He's eighth. Last year he was eighth in receiving yards in the nation. Explosive. And here's what he reminds me, if you can correct me if I'm wrong. He's a different version of A.J. Brown. Yeah. Different version of A.J. Brown. Big, thick, physical, you know, catches the ball at the highest point, you know, consistently. He might not have the, you know, the 4.2 speed, but he's consistently getting open. He's consistently making the big catches. He's consistently catching the ball at the highest point. So I love what he did. I love Xavier Leggett from South Carolina. I just love what he did. And here's another thing I love, TD. He can play all positions.
Yep.
He can play all positions.
Yep.
You have a guy like that with that speed, that build, that can run routes and, you know, in the slot, choice routes and all those things, I'm liking him. I really do. I'm liking him.
I tell you what, and it's funny you mentioned A.J. because, you know, in watching him, their body movements
That's
are very
similar.
It's eerily similar. You know what I mean? In the stylistic way that they play also as far as, like, with the physicality. I tell you, a lot of people knocked him in the Senior Bowl, but he had a left calf injury.
Man.
Monday night when I got to the combine, I was able to meet up. His agent is actually Torrey Dandy, who has all the receivers, but A.J. Brown too. And I had mentioned that, and he was like, yeah, you know, that's definitely something that he sees as well. But I say, man, is X happy? I mean, healthy. He said, oh, yeah. And he's going to run crazy. And I'm like, all right, whatever. He sure did. Who
Not
else
showed
you
did.
Have?
He showed in. Showed in. You know, and there's another receiver that I liked. That it was surprising because I didn't think he was going to run as fast as, you know, Lad McConkey.
Yeah.
You know, from Georgia. Dude ran 4.39. I mean, and then, I watched him in his drills. I mean, quick feet, strong hands. He looked, out of the group that he was in, he was the most impressive guy in that group.
Really? Okay.
Yeah,
and that was,
he looked good, man.
That was he was in the first group, right?
Yep, he was good, man.
Yeah.
He stood out with those other cats. I'm telling you, he's with the 4.39. I mean, that's great and everything. But the one thing I love about him is his body control. His body control is really, really good, TD. I love what he does. I mean, he understands how to run routes. And I think, you know, the most impressive thing is he's running professional routes already. He's not even in the league yet.
Yeah, and that is the route running that really separates him and allows him to be excellent. At the Senior Bowl, he did that. So, yeah, so you got Lad McConkey. So that's two. All right, that's enough receivers. We could talk the whole segment on that.
Yeah.
What about defensive back? Were there any guys that stood out DB-wise?
Maybe Cole Bishop from Utah.
Okay.
You know, yeah, not too bad. I mean, you know, it's. I know you want a safety that maybe everybody wants to run a 4.4 flat or something like that, but he ran a 4.45 in the 40-yard dash. I mean, the one thing I love about him is, you know, he was smooth in transition in his hips. I mean, that's what you want. That's what you want to have. I maybe say he may not be a day one guy, but you're talking about a day two guy that can really help you in the secondary because, you know, in that back end, you got to have a smart guy. You have a guy that can cover ground, but also he's got to know how to take angles. And just watching him catch the ball flawlessly, and I watch his quickness out of his break, I really love what Cole Bishop did.
That's interesting you mentioned him, and I'm glad you did because that gives us another name to consider. You know, I can never pronounce his name from Washington State. Shaw Smith-Wade is another one I thought, you know, okay, a little bit later that you could get. Very good cover guy. He's very sticky. He's right there in that same category as Jarvis Brownlee Jr. You know, you look at like fifth round prospects. What the Titans have to look at, you know, that late day three.
Yep.
Any other guys that you like from the cornerback position, or was it just, you know, the same – Top five guys, you know, when you look at Cooper DeJohn, McKinstry, Quinion.
All those guys are good in the cornerback position, but there's a cat that I like that was playing O-line, and that's Troy. I can't pronounce the name.
Oh, Fautano.
You know what I'm saying?
He was moving, right?
He was moving, man. 5.01 in the 40, you know, quick hands and explosive out of his stance. I mean, that's what you're looking for. I don't know what round he's going to go in, but he stood out. You know, we talked about the cornerback position on a guy, Cole Bishop, standing out in the cornerback situation. Now you get to the O-line position. That's the cat that kind of stood out for me. And I just watched him, man. I just watched what he does. And you watch a guy in the stance. You watch his technique. You watch how he keeps his eyes downfield, but he's watching things coming towards him. I just kind of absolutely love what he did in his drills.
Yeah, no, you're right. He did have a very good combine. And he's someone that, you know, look, you're going to get the knock on him for his height, you know, but –
Yeah.
Here's the thing. He's 6'4". His arms are 35
inches.
He's
still big.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, he's still big. Like, yeah. And he held his own at Washington. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So I'm glad you mentioned him. Any other offensive line or any other – just give me some guys, man.
You know, the running back position, too, Isaac Gorado? How do you pronounce his name?
I don't know.
From Louisville, the running back?
Yeah, I know you're talking about that.
Dude, 4.33, and the one thing I love about it is him and his footwork, man. His footwork was nasty. And then when you look at a running back, he caught the ball, you know, coming out the backfield looking pretty good. I mean, his hands were smooth. He wasn't trying to fight the ball, and the ball wasn't beating him up. But he was very, very smooth. I mean, he had a 41-inch vertical, you know, smooth in his routes, smooth in his drills, and caught the ball well. So I think his stock went up, you know, at the running back. Which I know, you know, everybody's talking about this as a passing league, but these are the one of the guys you could steal maybe in the third and fourth round.
Yeah, you look at guys that help you in the passing game. You know, Dylan Lobby. He's a small school guy in New Hampshire, but they actually had him work out. They wanted him to work out as a receiver too, but he's a guy, you know, he gives you those Danny Woodhead vibes, right? You know, but just more stocky because he's I think he's like 200 pounds. So
yes. That's
another one there. If you had to look at filling this defensive tackle position, you know, getting another guy next to Jeffrey Simmons, are there any guys that you would go to?
No, I'm looking at free agency. I like Chris Jones from
Yeah, yeah. And that's shift gears to free agency, you know.
Yeah, I like that because, you know, what the funny thing about Chris Jones is from Kansas City Chiefs is, you know, you hear him a little bit during the season, but when it hit that playoff consistently making the big play.
Yeah.
So you get him and Jeffrey Simmons, and they're both clicking on all cylinders, and then all of a sudden you keep Archie. I don't know the situation with Archie. You have them three, and then you got Landry. You got all those guys there. You talk about a defense that can be flat out nasty because who you going to double team? That's huge.
He makes that secondary better too.
Shoot. Yes. Me, you can cover.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
All right.
Sure.
You mentioned Chris Jones, so that would be the big splash.
Yes.
So off of the big splash, anything else you do? Do you go for another big splash, or how do you fill in at the offensive line, the secondary?
I think you gotta figure out a way to offensive line, and here's some guys that can, you know, probably help the Tennessee Titans. You got, you know, Billy, you know, Turner from the Jets. You got Argus P from the Saints. You got Jonah Williams from the Bengals. You got Trent Brown from the Patriots. Those are guys that you can probably look at. to maybe say, you know what, to just come in. Because the thing about it is, you know, Jared said something profound on the radio the other day, and I kind of feared him a little bit, and I can't believe it. I need to wake up. But he said, we got to find at that position some starters. You know, you got to make sure you get some starters. You know, I understand that, last year they got some – I'm not saying that Dillard was a backup, but he just didn't play well. But you got Brunskill that was a backup but still was a good player. But you want to get some guys that can come in and really be impact players. And what I just said before, I said out of respect, not of degrading anybody.
Yeah, no, I get it. I know exactly where you're going there. Because, look, they found starters, but you're talking about players that game change. And that's what this roster is void of. They don't have the guys where it's like beginning of the week, okay, look, man, number whatever. He's not going to kill us this week. You know what I mean? That's what they need. Are there any guys, cornerback-wise, where you feel, can be added and be that guy to where the quarterback and receivers say, hey, look, man, beware of number 39. Beware of you know what I mean?
But see, our guy is gone. Snead is gone. I think they franchise tagged him.
Yeah. So but there's still – the Titans were rumored to be in a sign and trade type of deal with him. I wouldn't do it, but
– I mean, if they do, I think it would be pretty cool. I mean, they have to give up a lot. But then the cat from the Bengals,
Awuzie. Chidobe Awuzie.
Yeah. Get him. Because the thing about it is we talked about, Denard Wilson, the defensive coordinator for the Tennessee Titans. He said they're going to be aggressive at times and they're going to blitz. So when you blitz, you better have in the back end guys that can really cover. And if you don't have guys that can really cover, then you're going to be in trouble. So I think you really have to get some cornerbacks in here that can not just be zone guys, but guys that can, cover man-to-man.
Okay. Well, here's one for you because we talked about free agents. I don't think he's going to get released, but in conversation there at the Combine, it was unearthed that Marshawn Lattimore may be acquired via trade.
Ooh.
And I know the Ohio State is where he's from. You're looking at, so if his deal is acquired, you're looking at a $14.6 million cap hit.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts there?
I would. I mean, and everybody's talking about this, a lot of cap space the Tennessee Titans have. They do. I mean, but you want to make sure you get an impact player in every position. And when you're talking about Lattimore, he's an impact player. He's a guy that changes the game. He's going to lock up your best wide receiver. So if the Tennessee Titans have a chance to get him, I think it will be big because just the philosophy of, what Denard Wilson wants to do, be aggressive and attack, but also, the back end make sure guys can cover. So I think that would be a great asset for the defense and also for just the overall defense.
Yeah, I'm just not sure the details, like what would
–
That contract would work. But, I mean, that's one that I would definitely be intrigued in doing. Any others just to kind of clean up? Any others?
Yeah, I mean, the wide receiver position. I mean, there's a lot of guys that are probably available. I mean, you got Curtis Samuel. You got Tyler Boyd. I don't know the situation with Tyler Boyd. You got Van Jefferson. I know he sometimes is consistently hurt. You got Juan Jennings. You got T. Higgins is, I think he got franchise tag. But also, here's a name that's really intriguing. Marquise Brown from Arizona Cardinals.
Sell it. Because I'm of the Darnell Mooney at a lesser cost.
That's a great point.
Sell Hollywood.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's some players out there, but here's the thing, TD. What we got to do is, or if we're the general manager, we got to make sure this cat comes in here and plays right away. Because if you get a guy that's an impact player and he comes in and plays right away, then at that seventh pick with the Tennessee Titans, then now you're free to go ahead and get an offensive line like Joe Alt from Notre Dame. So it's just a lot of things that got to fall into place. So we'll see when those days come.
Yeah, no, I get it. And speaking of things that have to fall into place, I was watching an old movie with my daughter Momo, it was New Jack City, right? And it was the one scene where Nino Brown walked in and he let the Rottweilers go, and he was talking about how somebody in there was a snitch, right? And the guy talking, he was obviously the star of the movie. My daughter, Simone, she was like, Dad, I didn't know the guy that you do Run TMC with was the star of this older movie. I've seen him in other movies, too, like Blade. And I say, Mama, That ain't Chris Sanders. That's Wesley Snipes.
Well, guess what? Guess what? I was watching, me and my baby, Faith, we were just watching TV, and some old sports clips came on, and it was on CBS. Cool. And we was watching CBS, and she's like, baby, I knew TD was really, really good, but I didn't know he was on CBS. I said, baby, that's not TD, that's Brian Gumbel.
This is Aziz Shire, and I'm talking with TD. You know how I get to there when I turn it on.
Back from the break, talking with TD. We're going to keep this thing rolling, man. We got into the free agency side of thing. We did that pretty heavy, David. We got a lot from Chris Sanders. I gave my take as well. And the other thing that we do have to look at is the draft too, right? Because there's still some positions that went unaddressed in free agency, you know, according to just, you know, some of the ways that I was looking at it. So I ran a mock draft, and it was actually pretty cool. The way that resulted, I'll run through that with you in a second, but I want to just post combine, just kind of get into some of the guys that stood out, some of the guys that I think, you know, the Titans are going to take a closer look at. And obviously we have the situation there with multiple receivers there in the first round. And I think, you know, at number seven, they'll probably have a choice. They'll probably have one of the receivers as a possibility, whether it's Rome Odunze or Malik Nabers. By then, Marvin Harrison should be gone. But you do have this trade-up option. And it's so crazy because the thing that kept coming up at the combine was J.J. McCarthy. And I'm just like, Jim Harbaugh took the ball out of a five-star recruit, took it out of his hands, and they ran the ball the way that they did. Are you sure about this? And yeah, there are teams who are considering trading up to seven to hop past the Falcons. Now, the thing is, will the Falcons get one of these? Like, will they get Russell Wilson? Will they get Kirk Cousins? Because it's becoming pretty clear that Kirk Cousins is going to be on the move. Now, I don't know if I'm Raheem Morris and I stake my future on Kirk Cousins, but that's a different ball game. But nevertheless, that's going to be something that is going to be floating out there too. Will the Titans move back out of seven? And if they move back out of seven, I don't really see them having a shot at Olu Fashanu. I for sure don't see him having a shot at Joe Alt. But I think when you look at this, it comes down to one of the two. Right, if you're going to go at seven, you're going to go tackle. I like Alt better than Fashanu, man. I'm sorry. And, you know, here's the thing. I asked Joe Alt because I'm guilty of it too. Every single time I talk about Joe Alt, I talk about Olu Fashanu, I bring up the athleticism and the upside. I say, you know what? Let me ask Joe Alt what he thinks about it. Here's what he had to say.
Joe, making that transition from tight end to tackle, what were some of the biggest hurdles, and how do you feel that will help you, you know, as you project to the league?
Yeah, I think for me, playing tight end was really helpful when it came to, like, my athletic ability, keep my feet quick. So that was huge when I transferred to tackle, you know, having that foot speed and that stuff already there. And, you know, once transferred to left tackle, it kind of simulated into, like, pass pro and stuff like that. It was really huge. The thing for me working on was, you know, get my punch and my strike down. That kind of wasn't as emphasized at tight end as a tackle.
Was it really easy to embrace the change in physicality?
I think for sure because, you know, I kind of saw it coming. My body was kind of growing. I was like, I kind of knew that was where I was going. So I started doing O-line drills while still playing tight end. So, like, the change was pretty easy for me.
When discussing you and Olu, athleticism always comes up for him, but polish comes up for you. Do you feel that athletic part of your game is something that's underrated?
You know, I do a little bit. I think for my size, I'm very athletic in my foot speed. And, you know, being able to both, you know, have the length and use my feet very well is something that I wouldn't say underrated, but something that I take a lot of pride in my game as well.
So right there, like, you got to remember, like, he played tight end. The athleticism is not a problem with him. It's not an issue, but it's something that just comes up more when you're talking about Olu Fashanu. Look, man, I asked Rand Carthon about having Bill Callahan as a talent developer, a guy who could yank the most out of a prospect. And Rand still said, hey, look, we want guys that could come in and contribute now. Now, that leads me to think that Joe Alt is higher than Fashanu on their board. But then you have the issue with the hands. They measured Fashanu's hands. eight, and well, they measured everybody's hands, but Fashanu has small hands, 8.5. My hands are 8.5. I think they're actually 9. Look, I'm not here to nitpick, but I just wonder, you know, all to better prospect. Like, that's really the bottom line. All to better prospect.
Agree.
You know what I mean? And even for what it's worth, the presence there at the podium, Alt, I think, is going to interview better than Ola as well. But, you know, that's a different story. But you look at, you know, some of the guys coming out the combine, again, that I think are folks that the Titans should look at. Kingsley Seomatala. He is a tackle from BYU. Very athletic, good size. I think he's someone that could play left or right tackle. He could write with both hands. Like, he could write. Stacy Dales asked him about that, and he grabbed her note card, and he wrote his name left-handed, wrote his name right-handed. It's cool, but that just kind of just shows you just the way he could bounce back and forth between the two positions. He's someone that I would look at, obviously not in the first round, but this is provided that, you know, Rome Odunze or Neighbors are the pick in the first round. You really have to look at what you're going to do at tackle. You know, but let's say they trade back. Troy Afautanu, you know, out of Washington, he's another one that I would look at. Now, he was a left tackle at Washington. You know, Michael Penix is left-handed, so he wasn't necessarily protecting the blind side. Roger Rosengarten was. But that Washington O-line, they won the award for best offensive line in college football. And if you go back and watch the combine, the way Faitano was able to move around, whew, man, if you move back, you could get your left tackle on him. Now, he's 6'4", but his arms are, I think, the 35-inch arms. So although he doesn't have the length vertically, he has the length arm-wise where he could get that punch on those guys coming off the edge before they get to him. That leads me to Talese Fuaga, who is from Oregon State, and he's a guy some had discussed moving inside to guard, but I think, you know, he is very capable of playing tackle, but people have issues with his short arms. Same thing could be said for Jordan Morgan as well, both of which, you know, they had meetings with the Titans. So you do have that. It's just going to be intriguing watching that offensive line work out. But then you flip it over to the other side and you talk about the pass rushers. Adisa Isaac remains a guy that I think, you know, should be on the radar for them. But you look in the first round, you know, at 7, Jarrett Verse, Latu is an option. But I think, you know, that's a luxury pick that they're making. So, you know, you go back, you look at the edge guys in the middle part of it. And I mean, there's a few options there for them. Our fourth round, you know, I'm not sure. I think Isaac would probably be a guy. You look at, there's a few fourth round and, you know, lower. I just don't know that I would go that route because I think the cornerback position is more important, a bigger need. And you look at Caleb Murphy, you got Arden Key, you got Harold Landry, you re-signed Danico Autry. You know, you got options there. Inside linebacker is a position to look at too. Peyton Wilson out of NC State, I think, you know, and talking to him and then watching him work out would be a good option for the Titans there at some point. But you re-signed Azeez Al-Shaire as well. So I think, I'm not saying they did. I say you should, you know, that's what you should do. But that cornerback position, there's a few guys to look at. You know, Jarvis Brownlee Jr. is a guy you all know I spoke about at length. I think he's someone. Jaquan Shepherd, you know, out of Maryland is another one. And now with those, we're talking about day three, you know, fifth. Don't have a sixth, I believe, but seventh round. Like, you could start looking at some of these guys where you draft off of traits, right? Daquan Hardy out of Penn State, you know, he ran in the 4.3 range. That's the type of trait that you get in the lower rounds, right, on day three. So I went through and I did a mock and I ran through all seven rounds and it, you know, it's interesting because you look at, you know, what the Titans have to choose from in the back half, and there's some really good prospects that they could choose. You know, they have three picks in the bottom in the seventh round, especially. So I you know, when you look at some of the options seventh round, there's some players that you could get. I'll go through and tell you how this mock went for me. So when you look at it at seven, you know, Joe Alt was gone. So then it came down to, okay, do you get Rome Odunze or do you get Olu Fashanu? I kind of expressed my feelings on Fashanu. I went Rome Odunze at seven. Then you come back at the back end, the top end of the second round. You got to get your tackle, right? I ended up going Jordan Morgan. Now, I had the option Jordan Morgan, Patrick Paul. I went Morgan just because I think Morgan is a little more polished plug and play. Paul, there's a lot of upside. The physical attribute, I mean, 6'7", 328 pounds. I probably, if I did it again, I probably would have taken Paul with the 36-inch arms. And you just think of Bill Callahan getting his hands on that. But I went with the finesse, right, that Jordan Morgan had. So you have that at 38, and then obviously you skip the third round. You go back to 107. And this was intriguing because I had my choice, right? I wanted to look at adding a corner as soon as possible. I had my choice of Cam Hart or Kyrie Jackson. I ended up going with Cam Hart. And here's why. I want you to hear this conversation I had with him.
Certainly, obviously we played them a year before, and like I said earlier, I prepare for every game the same. It doesn't matter if you're number one receiver in the country or the number 500 receiver in the country, right? So I prepare for it the same as I prepare for every other game. I didn't put too much focus on it. I didn't get too high, didn't get too low, and just went through that week the same as I always do. So I didn't put too much reverence in any guy's hand. I don't care if they were the number one team in the country, I was going to prepare the same. So
having that success, did that do anything for your confidence, or that was just
no?
I did what I was supposed to do.
I did what I was supposed to do. I mean, I'm self motivated. I don't get my motivational confidence from anybody.
Was that the best matchup assignment that you had?
Emeka, number two, he's pretty good. So between him and Marvin, one of those.
Or even throughout, you know, the whole
college
season. Yeah. Or college. Season. Hey, if you want to do that, yeah.
Marvin was pretty solid. Number two, Ohio State, Emeka was pretty solid. Zay Flowers, he was a good matchup. Josh Downs was good. I've guarded Drake London. I mean, there was some guys that I guarded now. So, those guys this year was probably most solid for sure.
So that's what you have there, right? And that conversation was based off of his matchup with Marvin Harrison Jr. 3 receptions, 38 yards. And we're talking about the guy who's been the top receiver in college football the last 2 years. He said, I just did what I had to do. So I thought that was really cool what he said. And I got into a little bit more with him as well because he's 6'3", 6'2", but has the footwork of a smaller corner. So he could turn around and cover the smaller receivers as well. Getting him in the fourth round, tremendous value. So we're going to kind of breeze through the rest of this. I said we needed to address the tackle position in the draft, right? After I went through free agency. Well, Christian Jones out of Texas, I get another height, weight, like a size guy. I saw him at the Senior Bowl, and I think, you know, he could come in and challenge for that right tackle spot. So you have that center at 184. I want Charles Turner, very athletic center out of LSU. I mentioned Jaquan Shepherd as a guy. I got him in the 7th round, and then I turned around. I got Omar Spakes. I added some athleticism and just special teams ability, linebacker out of LSU. And I finished it off with Carson Steele out of the running back out of UCLA. So that's the way my mock draft went. There's plenty of options. This one was done on PFN, Pro Football Network, so check that out. It's been a great show, man. Appreciate each of you for tuning in. We're going to keep this draft content going. And free agency too. Definitely enjoy this upcoming week. Hopefully your team does some of the moves that you want them to do, and you don't get in a situation where you're punching the wall or kicking your dog. Because hey, look, man, they didn't have anything to do with it, man. So, but again, we appreciate you tuning in. Definitely continue to rock with us. Search Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you find your listening materials. Subscribe, rate, review. We appreciate you.